As the children go for their separate instruction, I want to invite you to turn your attention with me to the 24th chapter of the Gospel of according to Luke. We're going to be looking at this chapter and trying to listen to what God has to teach us this morning. We know that this is the Word of God, and we pray that the Holy Spirit already among us will take the Word of God and make it known to us and enable us to hold on to His promises. So before we read this passage together, I'd like to invite you to join me in a word of prayer so that the Lord Jesus may speak and speak to each and every one of us. Let us pray. Father, we have come before you, and we ask, O Lord, that in silence and even above all the noises clamoring for our attention, you would speak clearly and powerfully and personally to each and every one of us. Lord, we pray that you would take your word and make it come alive. We pray, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit would have complete freedom among us. And we pray, Father God, that the beauty and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ would overflow in this place, even as we look to you, as we worship you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. We have celebrated Easter last Sunday, and we thank God that Easter is not just one event that, you know, after the Easter Sunday is passed and forgotten until the next year. We thank God that Easter is an everyday reality. Easter is a message that we can put in our hearts and praise God for each and every day. Let us read this passage together. We're going to do so responsively. I'll read the first verse, and I would invite you to respond with the following verse. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Let's reverse. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you why he was still with you in Galilee. Then they remembered his words. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Together, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Early that morning at dawn, in Jerusalem, a few women believers who loved Jesus, follow him, serve him, took spices with them and hurried off to a place outside the city of Jerusalem. They were going to a cemetery to embalm the body of Jesus for proper burial. Just 3 days ago, against all their expectations and wishes, the one whom they have known and followed and served and cherished for a number of years, and the one who has performed miracles, the one who has helped so many people, and the one who have told so many people about the good news of the kingdom of God, was sold out by his disciple, one of his disciples, Judas. He was rejected without cause by religious leaders and political leaders alike. He was sentenced to die on the cross. As far as the women were concerned, they never really expected all this to come about in that manner. They never really thought that their master and their Lord would be nailed to the cross. And so, on Good Friday, they did not have the necessary spices to prepare him for burial. Also, the entire event happened during the busy and high holiday of Passover. So it wasn't possible for them to do anything except to wrap the body of Jesus in fine linen and to lay him in the tomb that belongs to a rich person. That weekend, no doubt, all they were thinking was about Jesus crucified, now dead and laying in the tomb. So therefore, on Sunday, the first day of the week, when it's dawn, they brought with them spices and they were determined to go to the cemetery to prepare the body of Jesus so he could have a proper, decent burial. However, when they arrived at the cemetery, the tomb, they discovered that the giant stone, normally weighing about a ton and placed there by the guards at the authorities' order, preventing people from stealing Jesus' body, that giant piece of stone was removed. They look inside and they couldn't see the body of the Lord Jesus. What on earth is happening? They were wondering. Did someone come, vandalize, and steal the body of Jesus? Was this a prank? Or did someone come and relocate the body of Jesus to somewhere else? As they were wondering and as they were perplexed, Luke tells us that suddenly two angels appeared to them. This is what it says, according to Luke. Let's read this verse together. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you why he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. He is risen, coming back alive from the dead. Resurrection. This is a message that they have heard often and often from the teaching of Jesus. But somehow, as far as these women believers were concerned, and also the other believers were concerned, in their fear, maybe because they were weak in their faith, and maybe because of the persecution and what happened to Jesus, you know, it was difficult for them to congregate together and to worship together. They had to meet in smaller groups in different places. Maybe because they were succumbing to the combined pressure from the religious and the political authorities. Maybe because, you know, the fact that the people rejected Jesus in favor of Barabbas just days ago, that memory was still fresh on their mind. Maybe because, you know, they have seen, witnessed firsthand, the terror and brutality of someone being nailed to the cross. And maybe because of the gory scenario of the cross, the darkness that came upon the whole land at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and maybe because of all this and a number of other things. It was all too much for the disciples, the women disciples included, to believe that Jesus had risen. They were wondering what was going on. They were perplexed. They had somehow forgotten what Jesus taught repeatedly, that the Son of Man in this passage, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. This is a message. This is a prophecy, and this is what Jesus has been telling them from time to time. But somehow, after at the end of these 3 days and a whole series of events, it was just too much for the women to just think about this and focus on what Jesus has said. Sadly, they did not remember the promise, or at least not enough. It is difficult for us to imagine how many tears they have shed during those 3 days, how much pain they have experienced, how heavy and dark they sometimes must have felt, how depressed and down and low they were, and perhaps maybe with some difficulty, putting together the amount of money in order to buy enough spices to embalm the body of Jesus. All this because they have not thought sufficiently. They have not focused or taken to heart serious enough what Jesus had told them while he was with them repeatedly. We definitely would empathize with the women. We may even take pity on them, encouraging them. We may, perhaps even some, might even say that, you know, they were slow to understand, that their faith was blunt and weak, that they paid so little attention to what Jesus had been telling them all along. However, in some way, we are also very much like the women believers. We are no different. Like them, we are slow to understand when it comes to believing, putting enough confidence in the Word of God, holding to what God has told us. Like them, we are no more sensitive and obedient to the promises of God. Like them, when it comes to understanding and trusting scriptures, holding on to what Jesus has told us, we are just very much like the women, slow to understand. Our faith is also weak and blunt. God has many promises in scriptures, but how much like the women do we take them seriously? How much do we believe? For instance, Jesus once said in verse 1 of John chapter 14, I'll ask the women to read this passage for us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. This is what Jesus said very clearly. But if we are to be honest ourselves, you know, how many times have we, instead of trusting in God, trusting in Christ, we have chosen to trust in our own ability, to trust in someone whom we think might be able to help us, to trust in the power of many. Oftentimes we find that, you know, we would put our confidence and our trust in people, in things, in events, rather than in God. It is not an easy lesson to learn. Jesus says, you know, let not your hearts be troubled, but the fact is that oftentimes we are troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. And oftentimes we do exactly the opposite. We find it difficult to trust, like the women. Jesus also said in John chapter 14, verse 20, we ask the brothers to read together. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. There Jesus goes again, encouraging the disciples to hold on to the peace he has promised, that they ought not allow their hearts to be troubled, and do not be afraid. But oftentimes we find that, you know, our experience is such that we too easily give in to fear, anxiety, apprehension. We very often would choose to handle things our way instead of committing them to God. Yet another time, in John chapter 16, let's read together. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When difficulty comes, when we are going through trials, we find that we easily become disheartened. And that is normal, logical, and human. We become perplexed. We might even complain that we have become captive to trials. But sometimes we forget. We forget the encouragement of Paul in Romans, saying that Jesus is the victor. And through him, we would also become victorious if we rely on him. Jesus says that, you know, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He is the overcomer. And together with him, we would also overcome. But how true is that promise in your daily life and in my daily life? Jesus also promised something else in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, together. and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the earth. This is the last thing that Jesus spoke to his disciples, knowing that in his physical absence, they are going to come across all kinds of situations, and that it would not be easy to be a believer in this world. So he told them to hold on to his commands, to his teaching, and be encouraged and be assured that he will be with them always to the very end of time. But again, if we are to be honest, like the women that Easter Sunday, very often we want peace. We want to experience the presence of God, but that is exactly what is missing in our lives. Instead of peace and the presence of God, we find that we have fear, we have worried. Scripture has many more promises. Sometimes we think that these promises are for others, not for us. They are not ours. They have nothing to do with us. And precisely because, like the women, that we fail to take seriously the promises of God, the word of God, we also ended up suffering needlessly. We cry needlessly, or because we do not hold on enough to the word of God. These women, believers, were looking for the living among the dead. Looking at them, and now that we know better, we might think that it is a very laughable and a pitiable situation. But the fact is that, like them, very often we put together the spices and we find that in the end, we have no use for them whatsoever. Like them, we go to the cemetery looking for the body of Christ. And to our disappointment, we don't see anybody there at all. Like them, we have the promise and the encouragement of Christ to begin with. But somehow, when we need it most, we find that we have pushed them aside. So in many ways, we are not very unlike the women. We are in the same boats together. The women believers were looking for the living among the dead. They thought that Jesus was also like one of their forefathers or prophets who came and taught them about God, who also died never to rise again, and their bodies buried in the tomb. They thought that Jesus died 3 days ago, and out of their love and devotion to him, they would come and prepare his body with spices so he can have a decent burial. They pay more attention to the body of Christ than to the life of Christ, not realizing that Christ of glory has no use of spices to prepare his body, not realizing that his glorious power means that the giant stone blocking the entrance of the tomb is no match for him. This group of believers made two mistakes. One is that they did not take seriously enough the promise of Jesus. Not that they have doubted Jesus, not that they have totally forgotten what Jesus taught them, but they did not take seriously enough the word of Christ. They were too preoccupied, distracted by the surrounding. And in the end, instead of becoming encouraged, they became perplexed, disheartened, because they did not take seriously the word of Christ. The second mistake they made was that they thought that Jesus was dead, completely dead. They thought they would cover him with spices and fine linen and left it to lie in the tomb. The result of these two mistakes were needless fear, a lot of agony, waste of money, and also depression. But one of the things that we can come back to God and thank him time and over again is because the way Jesus appeared to them, the way Jesus would also appear to us. If we turn to him, if we listen for him, Jesus in love and compassion appear to this group of believers, encourage them, build up their faith, and send them away in peace and in joy. And if we ever find ourselves doubting the word of God, if we ever find ourselves questioning where God is at this point in our lives, Jesus is saying to us, here I am. I have never left you at all. And if we listen and take his word seriously, we would find that wherever we are, there he is also. Today there are many like these believers. They don't truly believe in God's promises. They take their eyes off him, and they allow their situation and experience and their emotion to shape and also to diminish their faith and their hope. Like these women who believed that Jesus was dead, they also consider too lightly the promises of God. We praise God because Jesus is alive. Death and grave had no power over him. We thank God that not only is he alive, he appears to all those who look for him. We thank God that when Jesus appears to his people, he would always bring to them peace, compassion, and power. Are we in some way, like the women that morning, still looking for the living among the dead? Are we looking in the wrong places? If Jesus would appear and talk to us right now, would we, like Mary Magdalene, whom we considered last Sunday, not hear him for the very first time? Would we be like that? Would our faith be small? Would our faith be blunt? Would we need reminders from God again? And we thank God that he would keep reminding us. He would keep appearing to us, and he would keep encouraging and strengthening us. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Where is the Lord of resurrection in your life today? Where is he in my life today? We pray that God would open our eyes to realize that he's already here. If you are not already a believer, Jesus is trying to tell you that he loves you. You are precious and you mean a lot to him. That's why he died for you. That's why he created you to have fellowship, to have a personal relationship with you, with him. And he wants you to know him. But if we are already believers, may God give us the grace and also the power to put our faith in him once more. In him who is the Lord of resurrection. Him who is the Lord of our life. And him who is the Lord who is to come again. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God of hope, the God of life, and the God of resurrection. We thank you, O Lord, that you have raised Jesus from the dead. You have put him on the throne to be worshipped and honored. We thank you, O Lord, that you have made him, his name, the one name above all other names. And that one day with our own eyes, we would see that all knees will bow. And all tongues confess that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, we thank you because you have placed such honor, majesty, and dominion upon your Son. We thank you that he is the Lord of the church. He is the Lord of our life. And we thank you, O Lord, that even though sometimes our faith are weak, our steps wobbly, and that our trust in you is unstable, like the women that early dawn morning. We thank you, O Lord, that the way you restore them, you would also do the same with us. Thank you, Father God, that you always invite us to come back to you time and again. Thank you, Father God, that it is your desire to bless our faith, to build us up in you. And thank you, Father God, that you would always receive us. You would never make fun of our faith. You would never belittle our circumstances. You always invite us to come back to you and to let you take charge. Oh Lord, we pray that if our faith is weak, if somehow, oh Lord, our confidence and our trust in you have started to shake or disappear, Lord, meet us at that very point in our life. Comfort us, speak to us, slow us down, and build us up again. Father, we want to give you thanks because we know that you are the Lord Almighty. You have conquered death. You have overcome everything for us and make us, Father God, more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.